Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Stay locked in and fully loaded. Bashani Radio and Verkay Radio. They said we couldn't do it, but we global now. Worldwide. Boom. In your face.
One. Welcome everybody to Grown Folks Talking Live with your host, Dr. Akilah Faye. You know, this is your time to transform and relax. We're here to stimulate your mind, your body, your spirit, and your soul. Anybody can get you excited about gossip and sex and all the craziness of the world, but we're here to help you become more informed in your mind, more empowered in your spirit, so that you can actually apply what you hear right now in this moment to your life. Adulting and parenting in the 21st century just got easier. And if this is your first time ever listening to the podcast, I want to recommend you get a pen and a pad, something to type into, but some way to keep notes, because you're going to get a lot of jewels today, a whole lot of jewels. Now, we always start with gratitude. Gratitude is, for me, the key, the foundation to everything that we do in life. For every way that we want to succeed, change our view, our perspective, this is the way to do it. So I want to share some gratitude from some people who have listened to the show recently. We have one from a brother named Jeremiah. Jeremiah said that he listened to one of our episodes, and every week he's really excited to tune in because it gives him a time just to pause and slow down and really appreciate what he's doing. Then we have another gratitude from Myra. Myra said that ever since she's been listening to the podcast, she's become more motivated and inspired and taking more time to take care of her health. That's amazing. For me, I want to say I'm grateful for everybody across the globe. We are international now, so thank you all for listening. I'm grateful for my family and for Breath. And on today, I'm grateful for our guest, Mr. George Frazier. Oh my goodness, you all. This man, I've heard of him several times. I've seen him. I've always been like right there near him, but seemed to miss him by the blink of an eye. And the universe finally allowed us to come into the same space. And his posts, they're not just about wealth as far as saying, get this money. A lot of people think that once you reach a certain level, that's all you talk about. He actually talks about how to shift your mind state and really how to appreciate what you do have and how to actually build community amongst others. I'm going to share with you his bio and bring him on. Make sure he's here with us. You hear Mr. Frazier still? Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
I'm here and I can see you as well.
Woo!
You're beautiful.
Thank you. You're very handsome yourself. Let me ask you this question. You're welcome. I'm going to read your bio, but I want to ask you, what are you grateful for today? And what does gratitude mean for you? Like, what's your philosophy on gratitude?
Yeah. First of all, I'm grateful for being a person of African descent. Yes, I am black. For those of you who were not entirely sure, that's the beauty of our culture and race. We come in all shapes, sizes, skin tones, and hair textures. I'm grateful for my people, for my culture. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for the thousands that follow me on social media, and the thousands that come to the Power Networking Conference to connect, grow, and prosper, and to learn the art and science of business and wealth management and wellness, both physical wellness and psychological wellness, because we're still deeply wounded people. And I'm grateful that I've led a life of service, of giving, and it has enriched me in ways that I cannot even count. That I've followed a simple philosophy of life, and that is give until it hurts and then give until it feels good.
Wow.
And that has helped me tremendously to achieve what I have achieved in life. So I'm grateful for living a 360-degree, morally grounded, spiritually rooted, socially conscious, culturally conscious Black man living in America.
Wow. Wow. That's powerful. And you say give until it hurts and then give until it feels good.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
I know everybody, I know I have to take a moment to process that. So it almost sounds like in the beginning, giving might be like, oh, like that philosophy they say, give your way to the top. And it's kind of like, hold up. I'm trying to eat today and take care of these responsibilities, and I got to invest in this and invest in that. Do you want me to give it away? What? So that's kind of sound like the hurt part. And then it's like, okay, because you did that. Because I know I've had to do that, and then things started expanding. But in the beginning, for you, I really struggled with that concept. And then what it sounds like you're saying is like, then you start giving, and it's like a reciprocity to probably like you're not even thinking about it anymore, because you're able to help so many people easily, because you kind of you position yourself in such a way that it's just like a lifestyle now.
That's right. Well, the reason it's so important to do that is because it is congruent with the purpose of life, and the purpose of life is to love, to give, to serve, and to add the highest value every minute of every day to somebody or something. That's giving until it hurts and then giving until it feels good. Giving love, giving service, right? Giving purpose, and giving quality value in service. That's how we give.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I know people are like, who is this man? Find him. The secret is, you all, I went into the bottom of the ocean and picked up a seashell and said, hi. And there he was. And believe it or not, he has 74 years of life in this realm at this time. So definitely you are doing a great job with your health regimen. We're going to figure out what that is. I know we say that certain cultures, we just don't crack. We don't break. It's like, we're just like this. I don't know, like a superpower on Earth, which is awesome. But you look, it's amazing. So definitely want to come back to that. So you all, Mr. Dr. George C. Fraser, and that's F-R-A-S-E-R. Dr. George C. Fraser is chairman and CEO of Net Fraser, Inc., a company he founded over 30 years ago to lead a global networking and economic development movement for people of African descent. Born in Brooklyn, New York, he was an orphan and foster child for 15 years. He spent 20 years in leadership positions with Procter & Gamble, United Way, and Ford Motor Company before starting his own business, Fraser Net Inc., in 1987. He's written 6 best-selling books to include Success Runs in Our Race, Quit, and most recently, Mission Unstoppable, Extraordinary Stories of Failure's Blessings, a book he co-authored with Les Brown. Upscale Magazine named him one of the top 50 power brokers in Black America. And Black Enterprise Magazine called him Black America's number one networker and featured him on the cover. Congratulations. Dr. Fraser, you're welcome. Dr. Fraser has been featured on 7 national magazine covers. He has received over 350 awards and citations to include induction into the Minority Business Hall of Fame and Museum. 3 honorary doctorate degrees. Y'all catch that. Not 1, not 2, but 3 honorary doctorate degrees, a chaplaincy, and an ambassadorship. He is a certified financial education instructor and has an insurance license. He has been named as one of the best speakers in America, and 5 of his speeches have been selected for global distribution by the prestigious Vital Speeches of the Day magazine. A first for any professional speaker in America. In 2016, President Obama awarded Dr. Frazier the President's Lifetime Achievement Award. Dr. Frazier is most proud of the 2 charter schools he helped found in Cleveland, Ohio, nearly 15 years ago, which educate nearly 300 inner city Black children, of which 60% are boys. Dr. Frazier's final act is to use his massive network and influence to join the fight for financial literacy in Black America. He is now in the process of launching the WINDS, W-I-N-D-S, which stands for Wealth. Oh, no, I was making something up, y'all. Launching the WINDS, Wealth Building Centers and Curriculum. WINDS, a refreshing and upgrading of the old school Black church wealth ministries. Over the next decade, thousands of new and well-equipped WINDS centers will be open free of charge to all those who want to teach and or learn the basics of money. Classroom and online instruction will be provided by thousands and underutilized financial services professionals who will get certified in financial education instruction and use the innovative WINDS curriculum. And on top of all that, you all, he's been married to Nora Jean for 45 years and has 2 sons and 2 granddaughters. Dr. George Frazier. Yes.
Y'all get in the house.
That is amazing.
Thank you.
Those accomplishments. Because you had to give to get these accomplishments, right? You couldn't just go
out
and buy them, I don't think.
That's right. I had to invest. Hmm. An investment is something one expects a return on. I had to invest time, talent, and treasure. And in return, I got time, talent, and treasure.
Wow.
So if you ain't giving, you ain't getting. If you have nothing, it's because you've given nothing. That you cannot take out of life, that which you have not put into life, just as you cannot take out of the bank that which you have not put into the bank. And you don't have to take my word for it. You go on down to the bank and see if you can take something out of there that you haven't put in. So that is really sort of a metaphor for life. We have to put into life what we want out of life. That there is no elevator to success. You've got to take the stairs one by one, inch by inch. And if you make that a goal of your life, by the final years of your life, you'll be able to look back down as you've reached the top of the stairs and see this long and winding staircase. And that is what I am now able to look at when I look back over my life. I look at the stairs that I have climbed, the successes I have achieved incrementally over time.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And you said take the stairs step by step, inch by inch. No elevator. So you said in 2019, with all this technology, we can't just hit the button poof, and get it?
No, it would be wonderful, but it wouldn't work that way, because every stair that you climb is a lesson that you learn. And the key is to learn the lesson so you don't have to repeat climbing that stair again. And because if you don't learn the lesson, the Bible tells us that you are doomed to repeat it until you learn it. So every stair is a lesson. Every obstacle is a lesson intended specifically for you to prepare specifically you for your journey. to reach whatever assignment God has assigned you, that God has put each of us here with a unique purpose in mind. There's a job that he's assigned only you to do, Aquila. And if you do not do it, it will not get done in the universe. It is your job. And so we're depending upon you to find out what your job is and to put in the work to climb the stairs one at a time and learn the lessons to stumble and to fall. I wrote a book with the Les Brown, Mission Unstoppable, Extraordinary Stories of Failure's Blessings. And basically what we said is that all the lessons are in the failures. You learn more in success. So failure is a part of your growth process. It's a part of what God wants to see and understand, that you have discipline, determination, and the wherewithal and the strength to overcome the obstacles that God puts in your way so that you can find your path. And every path is unique. And each way that we may choose to do that path is unique to each individual. That your path, your life is as unique as your thumbprint, right? Now, we all have thumbs, but every thumbprint is different. Every path is different. So there is no one living on earth who has ever lived on earth that has had the same exact experiences as you in the same time sequence that you have had them. That path is totally unique to you, and it's totally designed for you. Win, lose, or draw. There are lessons in every one of those steps along the path.
Wow. I totally get that. The clients that I work with, so I do a lot of energy work, healing work, and spiritual guidance and coaching. And my background is education. So it's about getting people comfortable with recognizing, like, you're bigger than just your body, and you have to take care of every aspect of your total being, right? And a lot of times people are like, but what about this and what about that, and how can I do this the way that somebody else did? And or they'll say, well, what can you do to help me get rid of a block, or what kind of block do you get rid of? And I have to explain that the gift that I have, so if they come, they're like, Dr. Aquila Faye, what do you do? I'm like, I help you remove blocks. I help you transform your life. I help you relax. Mm-hmm. It's unique to each person, because every person's mm-hmm. energetic field is different. Every person's need is different. What's blocking for one person might be something that's actually stopping them from seeing their vision. For somebody else, it might just be this excruciating pain in their lower back that's preventing them from even being able to have the energy to walk and fulfill their vision. And for some, it may just, they're so tense and uptight all the time that just being able to relax and sleep better, that's the block, their insomnia.
Right. You
know, what's causing that insomnia, that internal fear from something many, many moons ago that they kind of forgot about. But then when doing the work, I'm like, ooh, what happened at this moment? And da, 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 da. They're like, oh, you saw that? You can see that? You know? And that's what also I hear you saying is you have to really embrace who you are and what you are. So I thank you for speaking that into my life and into everyone who's going to listen to this and see this video, and being comfortable with saying you have this vision that nobody else may get, but people understand it because you're giving it, you're sharing it, you're living it. And over time, it starts to make more sense to people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you started FraserNet. Where people like, yeah, that's it. That makes sense. Woo! Knock it out of the park. Or they kind of like, what? What is that? You a black man in America. You done lost your mind. Good idea, though. Like, where were they? How did that kind of work?
Well, the starting of FraserNet was an evolution.
Mm.
Remember, I didn't start my business until I was 42 years old.
Oh, wow.
And so from 0 to 42 was all preparation with the lessons and the skills that I needed to have in order to, A, start the business and then grow the business. So I graduated from a vocational high school with a diploma in woodworking in Brooklyn, New York. And I couldn't get a job in the Carpenters Union in New York. It was controlled by another cultural group. And so the first main responsibility I had, main job that I had of any significance, was mopping floors on the midnight ship at LaGuardia Airport for 3 years.
Wow.
That's what I did, right? Now, if you were to go to LaGuardia Airport today and go down into the maintenance department, there's a plaque on the wall. I'm on the plaque. I was the best floor mopper that LaGuardia Airport ever had.
Wow.
Right? I was excellent at mopping floors. Now, for years, I prayed to God, why are you having me mop floors? Right? And it took some years of maturity and wisdom, if you will, to discover why God wanted me to mop floors, to teach me humility, which ended up being a very, very, very important component that I needed in ultimately the growth of FraserNet over the next 31 years. So every task, every job was in preparation for. I spent 13 years in brand and marketing management with Procter & Gamble, two years as an executive with Ford, and 3 years as an executive with United Way in communications and marketing. Every one of those jobs, plus others, prepared me for starting my business at 42 years old. So people ask me, would you do anything differently? Would you not want to be an orphan from 3 to 5 years old? Would you not want to have gone and spent time in toxic foster homes in New York for 12 or 13 years? No, I wouldn't change one thing, to be honest with you. If I had changed one thing, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation, right? I might be a different person. I might have taken a different path had I not chose different friends. Who knows where I would be? So two things that led me to where I am today and to whatever recognition that I have attained or celebrity that I have attained in our world. Every one of those things led me to this. But the two main things is the discovering of my purpose, which gave me my passion. When you find out why God wants you here and what God wants you to do, that is when you will get truly excited. And you will have the passion necessary to go through the pain, the hills and valleys, the ups and downs, the stick-to-itness, and the determination to fulfill your goals and to achieve your particular assignment. So you need passion to be successful. And in order to have passion, you need purpose, right? And the finding the purpose, that is the circuitous, well-traveled, but dangerous road to life. Purpose and finding it, which then gives you the passion and the excitement that when you land in that spot, you're ready and nothing will sway you. That's passion. And the second thing you need to succeed is relationships. Introduce me to your 5 closest friends and that will tell me who you are. As they know and as they go, you go. Your network will determine your net worth. So the decisions that you will make throughout your entire life about the people you are around will ultimately determine your trajectory in life. And we, as Black people, do not spend enough time networking or cultivating, nurturing, and building the relationships that we will need in our lives through every passage of our life so that we can succeed in life. Because you cannot do it by yourself. There's a wonderful passage in the Bible. It is a direct quote from Jesus Christ. The Bible has 800,000 plus words. There are only 1,026 words that are a direct quote from Jesus Christ. Only 1,000 words.
Wow.
Here's a direct quote from Jesus Christ. It is John 5:30. And Jesus said, I of my own self can do nothing. Now, this was Jesus. Jesus couldn't get it done on his own by himself in a vacuum. So what's up with you? Why would you think you could do anything significant, anything on your own, anything worth talking about on your own by yourself in a vacuum? This passage says to me that we were born to network. We were born to collaborate. We were born to link together in a common bond of caring and sharing. Right? So if you wanted to narrow down your success and the characteristics, two characteristics that will determine your success in life, is purpose forward slash passion, your excitement about that thing of which God has assigned you to do. That's one. And two, your relationships. The people that you will gather around to help you achieve those things that God has put you here to do, because you cannot do it alone. Jesus, the Son of God, had 12 disciples and one turned on him. He could not do it by himself. He was the Son of God. So, us mortals, no, we better spend a quality amount of our time cultivating, nurturing, and deciding on the people in our lives. Probably the most people, or the biggest people decision you will make, will be your partner, your significant other. That's a huge decision. Now, you notice that I've been married to the same sister for 45 years.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I made a very good decision, and wherever I am today, wherever we are as a family, as the phrase of family, it is half of the credit without question goes to my wife. Mm-hmm. Right. And she would say the same. So the people decisions that you will make in your life through every passage of life, and we're given 8 passages, each passage is about 10 years, and the finding your path and your purpose and thus your passion will be the second thing.
Wow. I definitely appreciate you sharing that. And I know people that I know, I just gained value. Anybody listening, that is something to apply right now. You're hearing it from one of the top networkers in the world is telling you, like, hey, building these relationships. We are going to go and find your purpose, to go into passion, to have energy while you building relationships. All this sound like these steps as you going through these 8 phases of life. You're like, okay, so first off, why am I here? I love to say, who am I? What am I? What am I doing? Right? Or why am I doing it? Like, what's leading that? Everybody's purpose, would you agree that everyone's purpose is significant but different? Like, some people are purpose to be a parent. And I know some people I work with, there's a lot of comparison, especially nowadays, with people saying, well, you know, I just have children, I just take care of my family, and blah, 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 blah. But this person over here, they have a TV show, or this person over here, they have all this property and they're traveling, and they're not seeing that each of those purposes or each of those lifestyles or decisions is serving in its own right. Because being a great parent and caregiver is important to those, even if it's just 2 people. That's 2 lives, and those 2 lives may be the ones to impact 1,000. They may be the ones to impact 1,000,000 later. This other person might have been the first or the last in their lineage to make a global impact, because that's just how they were destined to be. But there's, I don't like the word sacrifices. I know that's a common word people use, but there's give and take in all of those decisions. I know you've been married 45 years, but you are definitely, so you waited to get married later as opposed to getting married early, which was kind of traditional for that time period. Most people got married around like, what, between like 18 and definitely like 25. So you are an anomaly in that sense. Nowadays, we don't get married till our 30s because we're like, I don't know.
That's right.
I'm not sure about this whole sharing, communal living, compromise type of lifestyle, right? We're very selfish. So like, how would you get someone to kind of respect their purpose and not compare, especially since you network so much and you speak to so many different cultures on a regular. And then we'll go into our meditation and take a brief music break.
So ask a question again. Say it again.
How would you get someone to appreciate their purpose as opposed to comparing their purpose to somebody else's?
Right. You will know that you are on purpose when that which you are doing gives you the greatest fulfillment, the greatest joy, and the greatest satisfaction. Mm. And until such time as that is replaced, which is rare, that's what you're supposed to be doing at that time. Right? Now, believe it or not, when I was mopping floors and desperate for a job at 18 years old in New York City, that particular job gave me fulfillment, joy, and satisfaction. Now, I knew it would not last for my entire life. I said in the quiet of my own mind, I'm not going to be mopping floors for my entire life, but I'm going to be mopping floors now. What is it that I like about it? How can I get fulfillment from this? How can I get satisfaction from this? What can I learn from this? And then how long will that last? That lasted about 3 years. And then I did not get fulfillment, joy, and satisfaction. I got boredom. In other words, I had learned everything I could possibly learn doing that particular task. Right? In other words, God was talking to me and telling me it was time to move and time to change. You see, God is always talking to us, telling us exactly what to do, except most people choose not to listen because it's easier to sit on a couch, drink a beer, and watch television. Because when God is talking to us, telling us what to do and controlling our moves, mm-hmm. it requires change, and change is difficult. Yeah. Right? So, I listened, and I moved on, and sought a new responsibility, incrementally better, but you know, it wasn't rocket science, but right. I was where I needed to be to learn something, right? And so that was a whole sequence of events that lasted from 18 years old until I was 42 years old, right? So it lasted 24 years. The preparation for the George Fraser that you see and hear now was 24 years of work. Legitimate work. I was paid for this work. And then on top of that, I volunteered and did a lot of things for nothing because it was a different kind of work. And that volunteer work gave me the opportunity to speak and to organize, to manage, to lead. And so that was a different kind of work of which I was not paid for in cash, but paid for in experiences. So it was the combination, the 24 years of my volunteer work and my paid work that uniquely prepared me to start my business at 42 years old. Right? But remember, that was a different time. And these are different times. So, but again, I would not change one thing. I would not say, I don't think I want to do that. Nope, I would do that. I would do it for whatever specified period of time God wanted me to do it until I got bored. In fact, you see, you'll know when it's time to go, when it becomes A, too easy, and you're bored. Well, that means you've learned all you could learn in that particular thing, and it's time to move on.
Wow.
And now it's time to change. Change could be, I got to learn some more. I got to go back to school. I got to get some new skills. I got to get some new friends. I got to read some more books. Whatever is required in the change for you to up-level yourself, because that's what it is. You're either growing or you're dying. There's no in-between. Look at everything that God has created. It is either growing or dying. Nothing can remain the same. It's growing or dying, period. Now, the interesting thing about all of nature, right? Look at all of nature, all of God's animals. Everything is either growing or dying. The interesting thing about trees is that they grow, they die from the inside out, right? Now, a lot of human beings die from the inside out. We have a lot of walking dead people.
Yes.
Right? Because they've decided they don't, you know, we're not talking about retirement. We're talking about everyday life, that they just don't want to do the work. Mm-hmm. They don't want to grow. They don't want to learn. They don't want to challenge themselves. They don't want to, in a sense, experiment or take risks.
Right.
And so they're dying. And so that's how I see it.
Wow.
And that's what has propelled me through life. Grow or die.
Wow. Grow or die. Woo. With that, you all, we're going to do, for those who just tuned in, you know the show has its own flow. This is the first time in the history of Grown Folks Talking Live where we are doing the meditation closer to the end of the show. But it's definitely still necessary. Meditation does not have to be long, you all. It can be something short, so just want to give you a brief reset because I know your mind is processing all this information. If you're driving, do not take your hands off the wheel. Visualize it in your head. If you are in position two, do the meditation. Awesomeness. I want to ask you to take both hands, put them on what will be called your solar plexus. This is your chakra area. Your body has over 7 energy centers. You really have 13 plus. People focus on 7. And so this is one of them. It's right here on your stomach area above your belly button. Okay. I want you to put both hands there. Take a deep breath in through your mouth. As you're doing that in your mind, say, I embrace my purpose. I embrace my power. And then exhale. This time, when you breathe in, your hands are going to stay on your stomach. And you're going to bring them up slowly. And then you're going to exhale back down, okay? So it's going to be inhale. I embrace my power. I embrace my purpose. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Exhale back out your mouth. Bring your hands back down slowly. And last time, inhale. We're going to bring our hands back up again. Inhale. I am grateful for my purpose and my power. Exhale. Hi, you all. Your body might want to move. Shake it out. Move it out. That's your spirit talking to you. That's increasing your circulation. If you feel there's a yawn, your legs are like, ooh, hold on, let me get that out. Your body's like, yeah, hold on, let me get that flow. Let me get that power up in there. Yes, that's a great thing. And that is how quick meditation can be. That is how powerful it can be. You will feel yourself. You're like, oh, I didn't know those breaths feel like that. Right? It doesn't have to always be long. And for our music, this conversation is music. It has a perfect melody. You did not tell me you are a musician of words, Mr. George. I did not know how melodic your speech is. And that it would just be like, you know, we don't need to put somebody else on here for music. Between you and I, we already have a symphony. And so I would like for you to share with them how to reach you, how to contact you after you share your philosophy on meditation and breathing.
I love what you do in terms of meditation. I think meditation is a pause. Mm-hmm. A pause to think, to breathe, to, in a sense, regurgitate the work that you performed in that day, in that moment, to reflect on that, and to give yourself a moment to reignite. I try to do at least 10 meditations a day.
Awesome.
A minute.
Wow.
Just stop.
Mm-hmm.
breathe, think. Think deeply. Zen, don't think. Have nothing on your mind. Mm-hmm. Right? And to do that incrementally throughout every single day. It keeps me going. It keeps me energized. And in the way I lay my day out, because the night before I list the things that I want to get done, but I try to organize them in ways in which I have some of the tough tasks at the beginning, some of the tough tasks in the middle, some at the end, some easy in the beginning, some easy in the middle, some easy at the end. I try to mix it up.
Okay.
And the least important of my list, let's say it's 10 things, the least important is at the end. The most important is at the beginning while I'm fresh. But in between each thing that I'm able to check off on my list, I meditate.
Wow.
I breathe. I reflect. And then there are moments that I just don't think about anything. Mm. And that keeps me going. I mean, I work 12 hours a day. But it's not work. I mean, I call it work because that's what most people relate to it.
Yeah.
It's not work to me. I love what I do. I can't imagine doing anything else. So it's not really work. It's not like I'm working. It's not like, right, I'm doing something that I find displeasurable. Mm. Everything
so
that I...
It's not happening at all at this point. This is the, right, kind of like you giving and now it's, it feels good.
Right.
It's
that's
no
right
more to giving when it hurts. It's the feeling.
So I appreciate you even bringing up the point about meditation. Most people don't even talk about that unless you're, it's just sort of a special kind of programming. So I appreciate you for that.
No problem. Thank you for participating too. So you hear that? I told you don't have to do it for a long, long time, but incorporating it all the time in your life and the not thinking, don't overthink not thinking. That is, you can look up mindfulness. And you can look up just being present in the moment. And being present in the moment to not think about anything could be the same as one of the exercises that I recommend for people. Like, you just look around and you just observe your environment. Or you close your eyes and just observe what you see behind your eyelids, you know. And that's your way of taking your mind off of, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? And going through all of those extra aspects of life that can distract you or add pressure to you and weight to you and all these other things that you're just and it allows you to appreciate the gift of the present. That's why mm-hmm. it's present day, because it's a present, it's a gift. So I definitely appreciate you for that. And you all, there's a special as we're being mindful. I want you to be mindful of the PNC, the Power Networking Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Not the arena in your neighborhood. Not the PNC company, but the Power Networking Conference. Now,
that's right.
Here it's in Texas.
That's right. It's in Houston, Texas, June 26th through the 29th. It's our 18th anniversary.
Yes, congrats.
Named by Forbes Magazine as one of the top 5 conferences not to be missed. Mm-hmm. We focus on business development, financial literacy and education, and wellness, psychological wellness, and physical wellness. We're still deeply wounded people. We know that psychological wellness is connected to physical wellness. So there is a connection there. Those are the three things that we really focus on. The messaging over 4 days, it's 4 intense days. It starts at 6:00 in the morning. You have 3 choices at 6:00 in the morning. Meditation, have a special room for meditation. Prayer, special room for prayer. Yes, and a special room for physical exercise. Yes. You have those 3 choices, right? And then we go nonstop to midnight.
Wow.
Right, nonstop to midnight. And we're the only conference that we don't have breaks. If you want a break, you need to go to the bathroom, then you go to the bathroom. You need to talk to somebody on the cell phone, you leave the room, you talk to them on the cell phone. But we don't stop because we don't have that much time with each other. We're at 96 hours with each other. And in essence, One of the ways I begin the conference is by saying the following thing. That to be black and beautiful means nothing in this world unless you're black and powerful. Mm. Power is to be interpreted as you have some money. That, and I want to say the next thing and still be loved. That you cannot be black and beautiful and niggas too. Let me say that again. You cannot be black and powerful or black and beautiful and black and proud and niggas too. You're going to have to make a choice. White folks are planning for three generations and we're planning for Saturday night. Right? If nothing changes among African Americans, we are headed into a second slavery by 2053, according to all of the statistics that have been reported. Right? By 2053, 10 years after the majority becomes the minority, black median wealth in America will be zero. Try to operate in a market-based economy and a democratic capitalistic society without money. That is the prediction. Wikipedia, brothers and sisters, Google, the Institute of Policy Studies, a study that came out, 200-page study on the wealth gap between blacks and whites in America, April of 2016. By 2053, if nothing changes, when the majority becomes the minority, black median wealth will be zero in this country. So we must fix this or we're headed into a second slavery. We've got about 30 years to turn things around. So we can either choose to do something or choose not to do something. So we must understand that for us, the goal is to win, not to look like we're winning. I would rather carry a plastic bag with $5,000 in it than to carry a $5,000 Louis Vuitton bag with $100 in it. That's looking like you're winning, but you really are not winning. Right. So we must become a financially educated and a financially literate people. We must move from being the consumption class, and they are the merchant class. They make stuff. We buy stuff. We are the number one consumers per capita of any cultural group in this country. In spite of the fact that we're a $1.5 trillion annual economy, black people in America, if we were a nation, we'd be the 16th richest nation in the entire world. But our money goes in one direction, away from us, and we're some of America's most conspicuous consumers. We must fix this in the 21st century. And so what we focus on teaching and training our people, not just speechifying on it, we train our people in the four pillars for the intergenerational transfer of wealth. There are four pillars for the intergenerational transfer of wealth taught at the Power Networking Conference. And by the way, America's shark, Damon John, will be at the Power Networking Conference along with 50 other dynamic African-American experts in everything about business and money and wellness that you could possibly imagine. All right. So it's your choice to be there with us in Houston, June 26th through the 29th. But the four pillars for the intergenerational transfer of wealth very quickly. The proper management of accumulated wealth. That's the first pillar. So that we can start reading about athletes who earn $100 million and within 5 years of retirement, they're either broke or in bankruptcy. There are 35,000 black millionaires in America. Don't get excited about that. There are 1.2 million white millionaires. 2.2 million black households are worth $400,000 or more. Most of that is tied up in real estate. The question is, are they properly managing that wealth? And the answer is hell to the no. So the first pillar for the intergenerational transfer of wealth is the proper management of accumulated wealth. The second pillar is real estate. Real estate. What is the first thing God gave Adam? Real estate. The first thing God gave Isaac is real estate. You can't pass on a rent payment. We've been here 400 years. We came here on the Mayflower. We own the fewest number of homes per capita of any cultural group in this country. Real estate. Real estate is the second pillar for the intergenerational transfer of wealth. What is the third pillar? Business ownership. By the end of the 21st century, we must become the number one employer of our own people. And every immigrant group that has ever come to this country has understood that, but black people. 97% of black people have jobs because we were taught during my generation to get a good education and to get a good job because our parents couldn't get a good education and get a good job in America. So that's what they wanted for their children. That's not what I've taught my children. I've taught them to get a good education and create a job. Create a job for yourself. Create a job for your children. And if God gives you the power and the glory, you create work and jobs for our people. Jews are the number one employer of Jews. Asians are the number one employer of Asians. East Indians are the number one employer of East Indians. Arabs are the number one employer of Arabs. So we must ultimately become the number one employer of our own people and create work and jobs for our people, because that is the only way to raise up the poor. That's the third pillar for the intergenerational transfer of wealth. You cannot pass on a job. I don't care if you make $250,000 a year. When you leave that job, it's over. You cannot pass your salary on to your children. And the fourth and final pillar for the intergenerational transfer of wealth is proper insurance. That 60% of all wealth is transferred through strategic and tactical placement of proper insurance, so that we can stop contributing to GoFundMe campaigns when mama and them die and we can't even afford to bury them. Proper insurance. There was an interesting article in the New York Times about black people and their cell phones. And you know what it said? It said that more black people had insurance on their cell phones than their lives and the lives of their children by a factor of 10. So we value our cell phones more than we value our lives. We don't even understand how powerful insurance is. And it's a 200 plus year old financial tool. And we're buying debit insurance or burial insurance at best. So I can show you ways in which you can use insurance to make sure that your children or grandchildren are millionaires by the time that they're ready to retire for a mere $50 a month. We waste that every month. Yeah. So those are the four pillars for the intergenerational transfer. Well, those are some of the things that we focus on at the Power Networking Conference. So if you want access to powerful, magnificent, and successful black people, that's where you want to be. You want to network with the best and brightest, that's where you want to be. You want to learn about the four pillars for the intergenerational transfer of wealth and how you can apply them to your life. We will train you in that, not just speechify about it, but give you the actual hands-on training. We are a training conference. We emphasize coaching. Every black person in America ought to have a coach, someone that is smarter than them, someone who will drag them into the 21st century, kicking, screaming, and crying, someone that they are accountable to. One of the reasons so many of us do not succeed at the levels in which we dream of is that we're not accountable to anyone. Well, a coach, you're accountable to. And the best people I know have coaches. Michael Jordan, the baddest brother in the planet who have ever played the game, he had a coach. Tiger Woods, the baddest golfer to have ever played the game, he had a coach. Right? I'm at the top of the mountain, I have a coach. The best people I know also have coaches. That's why they're the best people I know. Right? You want to be great, but you also at the same time want to be getting greater. Getting greater. It is not how good you are today. It is how you are preparing yourself to be even better tomorrow, and then better next year, and then better 5 years from now. So that's what we teach and train our people. So if you're interested in coming to the Power Networking Conference, email me and I'll send you some information. Email me at gfraser@frasernet.com. Gfraser, F-R-A-S as in Sam, E-R, at frasernet.com. Or you can visit our website. So tomorrow, go to our website, powernetworkingconference.com. PowerNetworkingConference.com, PowerNetworkingConference.com. Go to that website. It'll tell you everything you want to know about the conference. You need to be there.
Wow. And you just blessed me with so many bonuses on that. Oh, God. I said, this is like so amazing. And so getting there, getting how to do the intergenerational just gap in itself is a dynamic in our culture that spans communication, religion, finances, building legacy, repairing relationships, just so many aspects. So definitely appreciate you put this conference together. And one thing I want to highlight is that this conference is not only for melanated people, that you do invite everyone to attend, which is why Forbes said it's a don't miss. It's just the fact that we're actually highlighting our own people at this conference as experts and making it known that, hey, there are some of us out here who are focused on building legacy, who are focused on helping others, who are focused on coaching others, who are focused on sharing amongst each other. And like magnets, greatness attracts greatness. Wealth attracts wealth. Joy attracts joy. Peace attracts peace. So get a piece of the action and make sure that you are there and in the space. I look forward to seeing everybody there. It's my goal to be there. This is my third year hearing about this conference, and I'll talk to you after the show about it. I'm like, I really want to get there and have me and my son there, because I take him with me everywhere. He's 10, and I already have him exposed to like Toastmasters and filming and like pretty much everything I do, I take him there. So I share that with you all to say, like, it's not even about how much money you have as you're going through your journey, because wealth is so much more than just money. And my son will be like, oh man, mommy, I didn't know other children didn't do networking events. I didn't know other children. He's gotten to some places, and I want those places to stay open. They don't let him go to these adult networking events. And there was nothing crazy going on. But they're like, oh man, he's a conversationalist. He's getting business cards. And this is a 10-year-old child. So to be able to go to an enriched environment where it's amplified in every aspect of life of what you can get. And I appreciate you having the exercises in the morning at the conference for the health component as well. That is a phenomenal thing. And to be doing it for 18 years, you didn't just hop out the Wazoozle and bam, you know, one of the top conferences in America. You was like, okay, you believed in it. You saw the bigger vision. I'm pretty sure the vision has grown bigger than what you even imagined at this point.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I want to share this with everybody for our book, because I really want to make sure we get that literacy component. You have given several articles of reference, so give thanks. Really appreciate that. Also, you want guys, check out The Four Agreements by...
Yeah, great Bob. Book. Great yeah, book.
You like this book too?
Oh, I read it 15 years ago.
Wow. I didn't
great book.
That's
been around a long, long time.
Wow.
Classic, actually.
Okay, so I got some. Y'all see that? The library getting rich. The library rich. What we putting in here? I'm only going to share three sentences. Well, there was one, two, four sentences that totally correlate with everything you said. And this is one of the first agreement. Yes. Domestication and the dream of the planet. So this is in chapter one. It says, what you are seeing and hearing right now is nothing but a dream. You are dreaming right now in this moment. You are dreaming with the brain awake. Dreaming is the main function of the mind. And the mind dreams 24 hours a day.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. That is the truth. Wow. That is the truth. I just want to have a final word.
Yes, sir.
To our people. Mm-hmm. That the future of Black people is not dependent upon how white people treat Black people. The future of Black people is dependent upon how Black people treat Black people. That's our future. You are our future. We, together, can be anything, do anything, create anything, succeed at anything that we put our minds to. We are God's first people. We are the mothers and fathers of humankind. We are gifted. We are special. My good Jewish friends say to me all the time, Dr. Fraser, we are God's chosen people. And I said, that's good, Bob, but we're God's first people. And you are of our loins. If it were not for us, you would not be. That's an awesome responsibility. Mm-hmm. That's an awesome gift from a great God. And we must remember that. And we must not just focus on the 400 years of oppression, the obstacle that God put in our way, that we must remember who we are, that we are the children of the slaves that would not die, that we have the genetic encoding of the great kings and queens of Africa, that we were building pyramids and solving complex engineering problems when other cultures were living in caves, eating each other. And in spite of the fact that America kept its foot on our throat for 350 years, we overcame that and we rose like the phoenix. So if everything happens for a reason and serves us in some special way, and we will never understand that reason looking forward, and we will only understand that reason looking backwards, maybe we were not brought here. Maybe we were sent here. Do you believe that God would put his weakest people here to do his toughest job? I don't think so. How could an America who could morally, spiritually, and biblically justify the kidnapping, raping, and pillaging of another two people, natives already in America and Africans brought to America, have any moral or spiritual grounding? And perhaps had God not sent Africans here, America might have self-destructed by now. We are an awesome and powerful people. And don't you ever compromise your moral and spiritual values for anybody, because America needs us for that. Chart a good and righteous course, my brothers and sisters, and stay that course. And then all that is due you will come to you.
Wow. Ashe and ashe. That, boy. If that ain't hit y'all, see, that's why we had to charge that solar plexus. If that did not hit, I know it hit. It ain't no, did not, nothing. Thank you for that. And thank you for that message. I give thanks for the Creator speaking through you and using you throughout this whole broadcast and bringing all of us together during this time and bringing that message. And anyone added, whatever tribe you with, whatever language in is used, melanated, copper, black, brown, original man, god, goddesses, earth spoons, everybody's saying the same thing with different words. We are the chosen people. We are powerful people. We have a mission. So don't get fixated in terminology as much as being connected to the spirit of the message that's being conveyed from the Creator through a person, through a vessel, to the ears, to the heart, the ears, to really hear and apply. Everybody who joined us, definitely thank you, thank you, thank you for coming and sharing, downloading, letting other people know. Dr. Fraser, thank you so much for being on the show. You all know how we always close it out. Always ask the Creator to continue to watch over, shield, and guide each and every single person who is within vicinity of the vibration of anything related to the download, to the listening, to the watching of the podcast. Continue to empower and strengthen our minds, our bodies, our spirits, and our souls to walk into our purposes with more confidence, more defined. Allow us to see past Saturday and into 3, 4, 5, 10 generations into the future, knowing that the longevity of our culture is dependent upon everything that we do and every breath that we take. For those who are feeling discouraged, for those who feel like they are alone, allow them to know that they are never alone and there is nothing to be discouraged about, but to be encouraged, knowing that everybody's journey is different, everybody's path is different, and it is uniquely designed for a unique purpose that is going to help build up the larger community. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Ashe, 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 and many blessings and protection to those who are with us and to those who have preceded us and those who are yet to come. If no one has told you all, I love you. Mwah! And see you very, very soon, you all. Peace.
stay locked in and fully loaded. Bashani Radio and Verke Radio. They said we couldn't do it, but we global now, worldwide. Boom! In your face.